Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
In the last show, we were talking about an approach to church government, and we were talking about how to form a free government. I said I would be talking about that next. What we're going to look at is, we looked at a church document that was a little controversial rolling around on our network that somebody else had created, and there was some serious flaws there. And what I was mostly concerned with was the fact that people were not seeing the serious flaws. I'm not really surprised at that, because there are huge flaws in the thinking of people all over the world, and they don't see the flaw in their own thinking. They don't know what's actually driving society, what's driving their thinking, their personal thinking. And we talked in one of the last shows that we did on another network about the collective consciousness, about a lot of other things, how that works, and that there's at least two different collective consciousnesses. You know, when people talk about pure consciousness, I'm meditating to get into a pure conscious state. You know, there is a pure evil conscious state, and there's a pure good conscious state. And if you're meditating, what consciousness are you trying to get into? And we talked a little bit about New Age and this, the dangers that are lurking about in New Age and Spiritism and all that stuff, because evil is always this parallel to what is good. It creates a world that is much like the world that God intended, but with a difference. And how do you know which one you are actually going? And so, you know, I've been working for now over, 3.5 hours trying to get ready for the show and to put this information together in a way that everybody can hear and understand it and can follow along. And I'm dealing with a number of different ideas, and I thought about this title of the show being Tracking the Beast. And when I said that, I kind of flashed on an image of when I was tracking a mountain lion that had been, you know, right above our place. I was actually fighting with two coyotes. There's a symbol for you. A mountain lion fighting with two coyotes directly above the house here, where you could see them out in the... Unfortunately, I'd gone out without my glasses, and I wasn't quite sure what I was looking at. And then I got my glasses and looked up there, and sure enough, there was a coyotes hounding or harassing a poor little mountain lion. And so anyway, the coyotes ran off in one direction and the mountain lion ran off in the other when I startled them. And I followed the mountain lion, and I was walking along tracking them, and I was underneath these rocks, and I suddenly flashed on an image of the mountain lion on the rocks above me watching me, because that's the thing with the mountain lion, he's gonna get around behind you. And I knew a guy who used to hunt mountain lions, and he hunted them with his border collies. I said, are border collies any good at tracking mountain lions? And he said, oh, well, they don't track the mountain lion. I just know that we're getting close when the border collies are all behind me. But he, more than once, he was tracking a mountain lion, and it ended up that the mountain lion was behind him. And so when the border collies are now getting in front of you suddenly, then you know that there's a mountain lion behind you. They seem to know where it is, but they're not like hound dogs. They're not going to be looking for it. They get closer to you because they know you got the gun, you know. So anyway, tracking the beast is a tricky job, because the beast is going to get behind you and in you in the process of tracking the beast. Now, there is a pause for wisdom to sink in. Because I know lots of people are tracking the beast. They're trying to figure out, you know, how is evil taking over in the world today? And they don't realize it, that they are actually a part of the beast's plan. You know, you always have to remember Hillary's favorite book, I was always astounded, she said, was 1984. And in that, the guy gets in with the underground to try to fight this new world order of the book. And he finds out eventually that the underground is run by the new world order too. And so there's a lot of people out there telling you, oh, the problem is this, oh, the problem is that. And they're revealing part of the conspiracy. But they themselves are instruments of the beast, because the beast spirit is within them. They're a part of the collective consciousness of the beast. Because the beast knows that some of you are going to start waking up. And so they send the beast, the spirit of the beast. It's not like somebody called up, you know, from the Vatican or from, you know, the Illuminati and said, okay, I want you to go out there and I want you to start telling people this to distract them so that they don't find the real answer. It doesn't have to do that. The spirit itself works in men. And that spirit will automatically do the bidding of evil. And we're gonna compound on this, and we're going to show you some interesting things about how evil manifests itself from age upon age upon age. I mean, you've seen the movies, you know, where they had the symbols of Satan, and those symbols show up again. In the darndest places, it's amazing how those symbols will show up. Well, the symbols, you know, for people who, you know, are studiers of symbols, they say, oh, well, that's the same symbol that's back here in Babylon, and this is the symbol over here, and this was back in Isis, you know, in the days of Egypt, and all these gods of Egypt, and you find the same symbol back there. But you'll actually find where people take on a particular spirit that has a particular personality. And when they take on that spirit, they will start to emulate the actual mannerisms and gestures and facial expressions and paranoias of those individuals that have lived 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years before them. And they will play the same role in society. Now, because we have videos, you can go back and you can see videos of, you know, people like Hitler and Mussolini, and because they were on film, they were on camera. And now you can go out and you can actually find people that emulate the same gestures, facial patterns, facial expressions. And you can actually see the videos of those individuals before they took on that spiritual personality. And then after they took on that spiritual personality. And you see, well, wait a minute, he looks like almost like a different guy when he's, you know, going through these antics. And then now I see the same antics going through other men who are alive today, running for political office, and women as well. And it is a spiritual identity that is getting into people. Now, I don't want to pick on political leaders, because you need to know, you need to understand that political leaders are a product of the spirit that is flowing through you. You feed those political leaders. You create them. You create the avenue from which they may rise to power. Even if you don't vote, you're a part of that problem, because you're a part of that collective consciousness that allows them to come into being. You know, in hell, everybody has a common personality. but there are also a variety of personalities in hell where they have different identities. You know, there'll be the beast, the evil that is, you know, beating everybody up, the orcs and the goblins and all these kinds of personalities that we see representing evil. The big guys, the little guys, the mousy guys. All those personalities exist. They have certain things in common. Anger, selfishness. They themselves are afraid and like to overcome that by making others afraid. You know, and you see these personalities, and you can actually see them in kindergarten. But you also have another personality, which is the personality of Christ. And that personality of Christ is forgiving and giving and serving and honest, doesn't bear false witness. I mean, there's not a lie in Christ, but there's a lie in almost everybody in hell. The lie may change slightly, but there's a lie there somewhere. Deception somewhere. Anger somewhere. Resentment somewhere. Anger, fear, same thing. Just different manifestations of the same personality trait. Christ is not afraid. Christ is not angry. Christ is humble. You can't humiliate Christ because he's already humble. So do you have the personality of Christ as you're tracking the beast? Because if you don't, you may become the very beast that you're tracking. You may let that beast in. He may devour your soul as you track him down. You become like that which you hate. Because you find the kingdom by what you love. And now if you go back to Aramaic and Greek words, there are words that we translate as hate, which means not like. Not attentive to. There might be some food that I hate, but I don't really hate it. I just don't have any interest in it. I don't spend any time hating it. I just don't look for it. I don't even see it in the store when I'm shopping. I don't plant it in my garden because I have no interest in it. And so that. In the course of language, you would say, well, he hates that. Well, he simply doesn't love that. He loves something else. And so that's where his attention is going to go. So in the last show, we talked about all kinds of things in this collective consciousness and everything. But in order to have a free government, you have to have the consciousness of Christ. You have to have the personality of Christ. You have to come in the name of Christ. Now, if you go out in the modern churches, most of the modern churches today are not doing hardly anything in the name of Christ. They're claiming to be doing things in the name of Christ. But they're the false Christ. They're not really coming in the name of Christ. They're deluding the people. They're leading them away. And it's the same thing with the people that are trying to expose the truth and show you the evil of the world. Many of them may be well-intentioned. I believe that everybody at one point or another and in some time during their life was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we know Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit because he says, you know this not because flesh and blood has revealed it to you, but my Father in heaven. And Jesus said, that's the Peter. That knowing by revelation, true revelation, not imagination, but revelation. And that revelation is what he's going to build his church on. And everybody has had at least a taste of that revelation somewhere in their life. I don't know. I doubt there's, you know, I can't say everybody because I don't know everybody, but I haven't come across anybody that has not tasted to some degree or another a revelation of the Holy Spirit. But Peter had that revelation and then betrayed Christ. So what's the deal? And Jesus said, you know, I'm going to pray for you when you do that. And this is Peter. You've been following Christ for years now. So you can have revelation and still betray Christ and still need to be prayed for in hopes that you repent. Because if you don't repent, If you betray Christ, you betray the Holy Spirit. And there is no forgiveness for betraying the Holy Spirit as long as you continue to betray the Holy Spirit. In other words, deny the truth that the Holy Spirit is telling you. And what would keep you from denying the Holy Spirit? What would keep you denying the Holy Spirit? Vanity, pride, lack of humility. Humility is a positive thing. Pride is the absence of humility. Humility is the power. Love is the power. Mostly what you see as hate is the result of the absence of love, the absence of forgiveness. That's the power. That's the positive thing. That's the light. Darkness is the absence of the light. So anyway, those are principles that we're going to kind of try to refer to as we talk about tracking the beast and who is tracking the beast and who is exposing the beast. And there's all sorts of guys out there, and I'm going to mention some of them, and I'm not condemning any of them. That's not my intention to condemn them. My intention is to try to shine light. And I'm doing this through a recording of my voice with words going out. That's all over there in the Tree of Knowledge. Unless you're willing to receive the Tree of Life, which does not come from me. It comes from God. Unless you're willing to receive that light and see where you yourself have failed or turned away from the light or refused to see the light, or unless you're willing to see the truth about yourself and your own anger, your own hate, your own unforgiveness, your own laziness, your own sloth. Unless you're willing to see that, none of this knowledge will do you any good. None of this information will do you any good. It'll just be another branch in the tree of knowledge. Only the Spirit giveth life. But there is the Holy Spirit and there is the unholy Spirit. There is the collective consciousness of Christ and the collective consciousness of Satan. And when you track the beast, are you serving the beast? Or are you serving the righteousness of God? Are you preaching what Christ preached? Which is to love thy neighbor, even love thy enemy. Or are you preaching hate and judgment and anger, and it's their fault? It's not your fault, it's their fault. Guess what? It's your fault. You're not saved. It's not Christ's fault. It's not Darth Vader's fault. It's not the Illuminati's fault. If you're not saved, it's your fault. And because you've seen some truth does not make you saved. You may need being prayed for like Peter did, because Peter, when he betrayed Christ, he was in a lot of trouble. He had need of repentance. And if you do not repent, you are not saved. Because you still repent of what? Repent of denying the Holy Spirit, the truth. The truth will set you free. You must admit the truth. You must see the truth. You must submit to the truth. Including the truth about yourself. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, I can see the truth about him, and I can see the truth about him, and I can see the truth about those people over there. But can you see the truth about yourself? Because the truth about them is not going to save you. And this is one of the things with the people who track the beast. They're always pointing to the evil someone else did. That's very popular. People will pay a lot of money to go hear you point out the bad things that the beast is doing. But people don't pay much for you to come and point out the bad things that they are doing. That's not big money in that. I can guarantee you that people are not going to pay to hear what they're doing wrong. For the most part. And so anyway, we talked about, we'll make these shows available eventually in this, on this other network. I just went through and edited it, the last one I did, and I talk about the Global Consciousness Project, where, you know, what people are thinking is actually affecting, they register that it actually affects the physical reality around us, because people are thinking about a particular thing, especially during dramatic events or intense events, is that it actually begins to change in a noticeable, calculable way the physical reality around you. What it really is changing is the thinking in people around you. And if they're thinking in the ways of evil, in the collective consciousness of Darth Vader and evil and you know, Saruman and, you know, all the wicked of the universe, if they're thinking in that collective consciousness, their whole consciousness is dragged into the current of that thought. And so being angry at the people who commit evil in the world is giving them attention. Hating them is giving them attention. I mean, angry hate, judgmental hate. You're being drawn into their pattern of thought. They're affecting your thinking. You want your thinking to be affected by the Holy Spirit, by the consciousness of Christ. You know, I don't know. I don't want to use the consciousness of Christ terminology too much. It kind of reeks of Rosicrucian and Freemason, etc., etc. But the reality is there is a personality of Christ, the name of Christ. And you want to think according to the ways of Christ. You want to be one with Christ in your thinking, in your heart, in your mind. You want to let God write upon your heart and your mind. And in order to do that, you must come into conformity with Christ. In other words, you must do things in this world in the name of Christ. So anyway, we're going to mention a few names when we come back. We're going to mention different people that some of them I've known over the years. 50 years ago, I knew some of these people that are whose names are famous in the movement for exposing the truth. And we're gonna see if we can't track the beast without getting devoured. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So some of these people, you know, I mean, like Tupper Saucy, who wrote Rulers of Evil. He wrote Miracle on Main Street. I knew him before he ever even got into trouble. So we were exchanging letters back and forth. And then later when he went underground. I kind of lost touch with him while he was underground. He wasn't contacting very many people. Did some jail time. And one of his prosecutors was supposedly a Jesuit priest. At least he was a Jesuit. If he was a priest, he would be in under a vow of poverty. And I always wondered, well, okay, he's a federal prosecuting attorney, but he's under a vow of poverty. Well, now what is his religious order? And I've met attorneys who have been in religious orders. I have a lot of questions I would like to ask them. They probably wouldn't answer me anyway. One of them was a Jewish attorney, wore a hamaca in the courtroom, and he got away with it. He was hooked on with bobby pins. And they allowed him to wear a hamaca. I mean, anybody who goes into court, you're not allowed to wear a hat, but he was. And there's a whole reason why that is. But that's a little off the point. But anyway, I knew Tupper way back. Even the guy who did the artwork for Miracle on Main Street, I knew him back in the late 50s, which is 60-some years ago. Or almost 60 years ago, I guess. Close to that, I knew him over half a century ago. It's amazing how many of these people I've come across. Greg Anthony Zemanski, been on his show. There's another Gregory Anthony, who is the Lawful Path, and Patrick Eric, John Phelps, L.B. Bork, you know, and we actually started putting together a page, but there's so many of these people that where we're starting to discuss some of the people and where they might be steering you wrong. I mean, that I'm not saying they're wrong about everything. I mean, Tupper, amazing researcher, but he was wrong about a couple of things. And I shared a letter with him, but it was shortly before he passed away about it. But anyway, the point is that you're not supposed to be following these people. It's fine to listen to them, but you have to be very careful, because if they're tracking the beast, they might be leading you right into the clutches of the beast, because the beast is very clever. What you want to be following is Christ. And the reason some of this came up in conjunction with, you know, what is a free government, how does a free government work, is I got a letter from PAC, which is L.B. Bork, and he was announcing that Eric Phelps is going to be talking in, is it the Catskills somewhere, you know, 3-day course for $300. And I was noticing the accommodations were rather cheap, seemed to be very low price for what they were offering. There was limited accommodations, sharing meals and things like that. But it says that this course normally is $1,850 and they're going to be giving it for $300. Well, if you're giving a course for $300 and you get 100 people to show up, you're talking a lot of money for a weekend. That's a lot of money. I don't know how many people they'll get show up. But, you know, I was just doing the math on that. But, you know, some of you may not even know who Eric John Phelps is, but he talks a lot about the Black Pope and the Catholic Church and, you know, how it's controlling everything behind the scenes. And I actually have some experience with that. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I knew people who lived, at least lived in the Vatican, although they moved away from the Vatican when I met them. And revealed all kinds, and I've told you stories about some of the stuff that they have shared. And these weren't Jesuits. These were another religious society. And I've also met Jesuits in remarkably peculiar places, besides being the attorney for Tupper, against Tupper, prosecuting attorney against Tupper Saucy. I met them in other places, too. And there's another order that's not the Jesuit order that is actually a shadow order of the Jesuit, has the same identical constitution as the Jesuits. But if you actually go and meet the average Jesuit that is teaching in some college or something, they're not really a part of any conspiracy that they know of. And, of course, that's the best way to work it, is that they... And some of them might even be legitimately decent men looking to serve God. And, you know, they're raised Catholic and they end up being Jesuit priests. But it's kind of like Masons. Most Masons aren't really a part of any international conspiracy. But if you get high enough up, then there's somebody back there who's kind of a puppet master manipulating and, you know, manipulating judges and manipulating politics. And that's the thing, is who's really orchestrating things? Who is the real puppet master? And what is the real plan? Because, you know, we're going to mention a number of other people. The fact is, the Jesuit order has been pretty much on the decline as far as its teaching certificates. There's a whole lot of people who become Jesuits who you never even see. You never even know, generally speaking, that they're Jesuits. And they're mingled into things. But really, it's kind of on decline. And some people complain about the fact you mention a Black Pope, because he isn't really the Pope. He's just the head of the Jesuit order. And, you know, that's kind of a nickname. I mean, there's a Red Pope who's the head of the Assembly of Cardinals. And then there's the White Pope that everybody sees. But they don't call the head of the Assembly of Cardinals the Red Pope. I mean, he's just the head of that group. Pope just means Papa, Father. So anyway, we've talked about that, the rise of the Catholic Church out of the works of Constantine. But, you know, Constantine wasn't running it. He just kind of gave it a big jump start and created a whole group of Christians who did not have to repent and get baptized. They just had to get baptized. And they did start a social welfare system that operated by charity, but like I said, it was jump-started by millions upon millions of dollars that was given in land and property and buildings that was given to it by Constantine. But it never really got anywhere. It had a lot of influence in courts of like Charlemagne, etc., but it really never got anywhere because the real church was operating the way it always did through the tens, hundreds, and thousands. And even though you mentioned tens, hundreds, and thousands, the real church is operating according to the Holy Spirit. And it's been around from generation to generation for centuries upon centuries upon centuries, but it doesn't always get in the press. because it's kind of, for the last 1,000 years, had to go underground. But the church is always written in your heart and in your mind. So there's always been people who have been a part of the true church. But you don't necessarily see them in the news. If you start seeing them big in the news, the time is short. You can count on that. But it's difficult to tell who is who. Because, you know, I mean, Peter was a great guy. And then all of a sudden he denies Christ. And then he comes back and he's better than ever. And so who is really? And it matters, but it doesn't matter. Because really, you're on your own journey. You're not supposed to be following somebody else. You're supposed to be following Christ. You're supposed to be following the Holy Spirit. That is your comforter, not somebody else. When you want to go to church to be comforted, you want to go to church for fellowship. Heck, you can go down to the country club for fellowship. You don't go to church for fellowship, although we can define fellowship a couple of different ways. You go to church because that's where Christ sends you. The Holy Spirit sends you. You gather together because the Holy Spirit is gathering you together, not because I sent you. Now, I think it's probably way better off that you gather with people who at least are claiming to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, rather than gather with some ball club or down at the bar. But there's no guarantee that if you gather in a congregation that these people will persevere until the end. So you're not following each other again. You're going there because Christ sent you there to do Christ's will. And you may not know what that is. And I've told bizarre stories about how I'm suddenly working on a roof and I'm supposed to call somebody up and say I'm going to go with them. And I go to a church I have no interest in whatsoever. And I know I'm supposed to meet somebody. And I meet them there for a brief moment. And dramatic events take place in the meeting. And then I don't see them again. What happened? What was the connection? And I see that pattern over and over again. Something is imparted. Something is touched in somebody else. It steers somebody in another direction. It changes their thinking. It puts them on another path. Helps them maybe, somehow. I don't know, it's mysterious. But that's what comes from serving Christ. He will tell you to do the strangest things. They should be in conformance with the Ten Commandments. I mean, he's not going to tell you to go in and shoot up somebody. Or, you know, start killing all these people. Or these crazy things that you see going. If somebody's telling you to do that, you're not listening to the Spirit of Christ. Pretty well given. That's you're listening to another collective consciousness. So anyway, the Pope is playing some role in all this. There's no two ways about it. The Catholic Church, the Jesuits, they're all playing a role. But their plan is a plan within a plan. They are not really the orchestrators of these events. They're playing a role. The same as, you know, whatever's left of the Illuminati and, you know, the Freemasons and all these guys, they all got their fingers in there, like somehow or other they're in control, but they're not really the ones that are in control. The evil is in control. And it may manifest itself through them, but it could that evil can also manifest itself in the beast trackers. These guys trying to expose evil. Because, see, you're going to... Evil knows, okay, some of you are going to start waking up and realize that everything is not exactly as it sees. And so you're going to start looking for answers. And you need to have guys out there who will give you some of those answers, but not the real answer. Not the whole answer, not the whole truth. They'll tell you, oh, look at this. Oh, look at Building 7. Oh, look at this conspiracy. Oh, look at the no weapons of mass destruction. Oh, look at this. Hillary is a liar and she deleted emails. And look at these things. But they're not going to get you to look at yourself and your own failings and your own weaknesses. They're going to get you worked up. They're not going to teach you to be still and know. They're not going to teach you to obey the Holy Spirit. They're going to get you to follow them. And they're going to be pointing out everybody else's wrongs. And you'll pay them $300 for a weekend so that they will show you everybody else's wrongs. Who's going to pay $300 for a weekend for me to show you your wrong? Where you're failing. Where your shortcomings are. Nobody wants to know that. They want to know what everybody else is doing wrong. You know, the Catholic Church is, you know, the hierarchy. I mean, your average Catholic hasn't got a clue. Like I say, most of the ministers and priests and teachers and nuns, I mean, they're just people like anybody else. There are some people who are really in the know about what's going on in the world and the banking systems, and get onto that, and we'll talk about financial powers and etc. But only to bring you back to the truth about, you know, the king, what it is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, because I mean, people like Ken O'Keefe, you know, exposing the financial system, and he does. He's right about a lot of the stuff he says, but he misses it. Because it doesn't go far enough. And I'll show you where. But anyway, let's go back. There's going to be these rumors of wars and people creating fear, terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. Scary, scary, scary. Economic collapse, economic collapse. All those things will probably take place. But we read, you know, we read that in Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. And that word troubled there, that's a Greek word, throio, from triome, which does mean trouble, but it actually means to cry aloud. And remember, we're supposed to be studying to be still and know. But all these rumors of wars and hear about wars, and, which is just really conflicts. It's not just the word war. It can be the word war, but it's any kind of disputes and strifes. I mean, politics. The whole campaign now. You know, people voting for Trump because they fear Hillary. And people, I actually know somebody who wants to vote for Hillary because he fears Trump. That's actually the case. He's actually so afraid of Trump that he's actually talking about voting for Hillary. So everybody's voting out of fear. Because that's the bad guy. That's the boogeyman. That's the beast. That's the thing we're supposed to be afraid of. And so they're all crying out. They're all trying to get this other solution. But nobody's looking at themselves, their own part. You can do something about you. You can't do much about those other guys. It says, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. And why is he talking about the end? The end of what? And actually, if you go back to verse 6, if you go back to verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of their coming, of the end of the world? Now that word world there is not the end of the planet. That's not what he's talking about, the end of the planet. What will be the end of the world? They're not talking about the end of the planet. So what are they talking about? What is this thing that they're talking about? Well, is it the end of the age? Is it the end of the system of government, the constitutional order or system of government? Because those are the two words that are sometimes used in reference to the end of the world as the end of an age, or the end of a constitutional order or system of government and the beginning of another, a different kind of constitutional order or system of government, which may bring us back to the discussion in Ken O'Keefe's work. So what is the signs of its coming? Well, the reality is, to some degree, the end of the constitutional order and system of government took place in 66 and 67 AD with the fall of Jerusalem. That was the end of an age, end of a political order with the destruction of Jerusalem. That took place. You know, I always was very interested in this, where Jesus says to Caiaphas, you shall see me coming upon a cloud. Is there a lie in Jesus? He said, you shall see me coming upon a cloud. to Caiaphas, specifically talking to Caiaphas, addressing Caiaphas. And yet there's reports of men marching and standing in the clouds over Jerusalem and Titus pulling back his forces because they see men standing in the clouds. So did that prediction of Jesus coming upon a cloud actually already take place, and Caiaphas was there and Caiaphas saw it? Because Caiaphas was probably still alive. He was a pretty young man when he became high priest. He was the son of the son-in-law of Ananias, and it was Ananias's sons who had been the high priest for consecutive years. And he was running out of sons, so now his son-in-law was the high priest. And Jesus took the time to address this guy, Caiaphas, and tell him this. Why did he do that? Why did he tell Caiaphas that? I believe it's because he knew Caiaphas was going to repent, and he was letting Caiaphas know that you're going to see me. You don't know it yet. You're going to see me. Just the same as Jesus knew that Peter was going to betray him. And in essence, he's telling Caiaphas, I'm going to pray for you when you see me. Maybe by the time he saw him, he had already repented. Because they've recently found Caiaphas' bone box, and in Caiaphas' bone box were three nails that would normally be used for crucifixion. So either Caiaphas was crucified, or those are the nails that crucified Christ, and he wanted to be buried with those nails because he felt the guilt of condemning Christ. Because he became a Christian, which would explain all the bizarre, unreadable, I mean, we don't know where they came from. Supposedly, archaeologists don't understand them, but they don't understand symbols on his bone box. And there's all kinds of people trying to say, oh, no, that's not an authentic bone box, and that's not really. But there's all kinds of people who are finding out that, no, that is authentic, and it does say Caiaphas, and it is the right time, and there were these bones in it, and there were three spikes that would be used in crucifixion in the box. So did he become a Christian? Once you understand Christ, he isn't saying, you shall see me coming upon a cloud to be vindictive. He's telling them, I know your fate. I know your future. It's okay. I'm supposed to go to the cross here. I'm not going to hold this against you. I'm forgiving you. Now, while you condemn me. That's Christ. Can you do that? Could you do that? Could you forgive the Pope and the Black Pope and... and the Freemasons? Are you really walking in the love of Christ? Whoa. I mean, some of you can't even forgive your neighbor or people in your congregation or people that might be in your congregation or somebody who slights you, you know, because he didn't want to come and meet you. Can you forgive him? I mean, so that it's just like seeing anybody else when you see him? Because if it's not, then you haven't really forgiven him. Jesus went on to say in verse 4, answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, claiming to be Christ, servants of Christ, ministers of Christ, and they shall deceive many. Many will say, you know, he tells you in a whole parable that many will say they come in my name and that they're, you know, that they've served me. But he says, get ye from me, I know you not. So how do we know who is really serving Christ? Just because they're pointing out the beast does not mean that. They may be distracting you from really following the answer. You know, it's like Ken O'Keefe. We might as well get to that before we get too far into this. If you ask me how the world functions, this is his answer, then you have to understand one thing plain and simple. The head of the snake, the system of power, is headed by the financial system. That's what he says. Bankers rule the earth. But who rules your heart? Is it so essential to know the head of the snake or know the heel of righteousness? Yeah, we'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. Be there. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.